Zdravkovski. I'm back home, back at the RAU show. We have a sports show. It used to be a couple of years ago that we had the show, and it was with myself and Mr. Andrew D. Dixon. And I'm really hoping that I get him to come on to say a little something a little later on during the show. I invite him to come on in, and that he could say hi and say hello to our listeners, and make me feel kind of warm and fuzzy, because it's been a while since I've been on the show. I'm glad to be back. Wanted to be back. It's fun to be here, and understanding that it's a pleasure just to be part of what we got going on right now. I'm here doing what we're doing. I like before. I want to say good evening to Doc. You don't have to put me in a headlock anymore, man, because I'm here, ready to go, ready to make it happen. We're going to have our show is going to be a real nice show. We're going to have we're not just going to sit and have sports and only sports. We're gonna kind of piece it. We're gonna have a lot of sport talk. That's what we have to show, call it sports and more. We're gonna actually go into a lot of in depths of the Caribbean youngsters group. I'm adding a very exciting lady who's a professor at Howard University from the island of St. Martin. She written a book. St. Martin, and it represents a lot of what we're talking about and what we want to see on the island. And she also have another book that she's coming out with real soon. The first book that she wrote is called Language, Culture, and Identity in St. Martin. And we can stretch that St. Martin to the Caribbean. Again, she's a professor right now in Howard University, and the other book that she's written and trying to launch is called How to Get a World Class Education from St. Martin. And again, we're going to actually spread this to the Caribbean. We're going to have a conversation with her today. We're going to try to have her on every week with about another 15-20 minutes chat to talk about the culture. She's a linguist. And so these are things that we actually going to try to implement, and just not only geared towards sports and sports only. We love sports. I grew up eating, drinking sports, but as an adult, I understand that sports is life and life sports. I think the way we handle ourselves, because remember, nothing you do in life give you character. Character is revealed. Whatever you do in life reveals your character. So your true character only comes out after people see who you are and what you're all about. Then what we're going to actually do is we're going to have about 15 minutes of all the scores, a highlight of all the sport, basketball, baseball, whatever sports is on. We're going to make this a real crisp, clear program. Well, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for to actually not only that, we want to give you information, man. If you got information for us, we'll take that information. We'll run with it. We'll soak it up. And to go back a little bit to who I am, again, I'm Zdravkovski, ex-professional baseball player. I played for the Baltimore Orioles and the Milwaukee Brewers organization. But one of the things that I know for myself is that I grew up being part of culture, being part of a family. I was born in St. Kitts, right there in Arthur Works Canyon. My family moved to St. Martin. I was at the age of 5. And, of course, my family didn't know what their son or their children was going to be like. But growing up in the culture, the Caribbean culture, because Caribbean culture really, it changed a little bit in everything we do. Everybody, the food may be a little different, but we go about it doing different things, So, that's one of the things that I always know that, even me living up here, I live in Atlanta, Georgia right now, and every maybe once a month, maybe twice a month, I got to go get me my oxtail and rice, red bean and rice. I got to go get, something, get my roti, And so the Caribbean culture never leave us, man, because we're so embedded in the culture of being who we are. Caribbean culture is like a jacket. You put it on and you can't take it off. And the same thing with what we do is we also have I have part owner of a baseball academy here, and this baseball academy is helping young kids from the age 11 all the way up to 16 and 17 years old. And those are the things that we want to create while I'm working at it here in the U.S., I would like to take that down to the Caribbean Islands. I'm working with Andrew Dixon. I think the doc called him AD. And he and Mr. Brown, Hapton Brown, has been working for years trying to bring St. Martin, bring the Jamaica baseball to Jamaica. I've never had the opportunity to join them, and I think I'm kind of hungry right now. I want an opportunity to see if I can go in and help them create that baseball atmosphere. I love to coach. I love to teach. I love talking baseball. But one of the things that a lot of people, especially in the Caribbean Islands, have to understand is that, you know, these kids watch TV and they watch major league ball players play, but it's not that easy. It's a hard road. And one of the things that I have created in my mind is to let them know that there's so many different paths to that one destination that we're trying to go into. The destination is to get to the top, whatever the top is, because everybody's 100% is 100% is different than your 100%. But as long as you give your 100% and you say to yourself, you know, I give it all I got and all I have, that is what we're looking for. Give it all you have. So in other words, when I say that, I'm saying that we don't just want to tell these kids that professionalism, being a professional is the only avenue. There's different schools. You have Division I, Division II, Division III, NAIA, Junior College. There's so many different ways you can play sports and enjoy the sports. And I always believe if you play the game the right way and you play the game, everything you got, you know, somebody's going to see you. Somebody's going to see you. Take your time. You relax. My journey have been a blessed journey. On the island of St. Martin, I've never thought that I would have the opportunity to be playing professional baseball in the United States and even making a major league roster with Baltimore Orioles. But I did. And I did because it was all hard work. And I always say hard work is only the beginning. And if you start by putting in the hard work, and I always believe that you only can get out of something that you put into it. And if you put hard work into it, be honest with you, everything that you do is going to fall in place. And I think one of the things that that drives me is just knowing that I have that passion for sports, not just baseball, sports. Any kid that I see, whether it's volleyball, basketball, no matter what it is, any kid that I see, a young man or young woman that I see want to give everything they got to become part of their goal, their dreams, their aspiration, I'm there. I'm there for them. But I just want to make sure that it's not they're not telling you, oh, I want to become a professional athlete. Because I've had people where I went back to the island of St. Martin, to the island of St. Martin, and I had, I'm talking people, big people in sports are asking me, well, what if the kid don't want to be going to college? What if the kid don't want to go to school? And my response to them is, you know, that's on them then. But there's so many avenues that you can use, man. And I think my goal is to open as many avenues, talk to as many people, talk to as many young athletes or any young person in life, man. And if they're inspired to go forward, if I can pick the phone up and talk to a doctor or a teacher or whatever and have them connect, that's what we're looking for. Because the thing is that everything in sports, and especially my baseball world, it's like a fraternity. You know, I can pick the phone up right now and talk to guys that I've played with 25, 30 years ago. And we will talk as if we haven't talked since yesterday, you know. And to say this, I had the sad news. I heard the sad news of one of my coaches when I was with the Baltimore organization. Name is Lance Nichols, hard-nosed coach. And I grew real close with his son. And while working with his son and playing ball with his son, we're still friends up to today. And yesterday when I got the message that his dad, Lance Nichols, passed away, was one of my old coaches for the Baltimore Orioles. And I called him and I voiced my sadness and my condolences to him and his family. And he was like, Skeet, I hear you. Thank you so much, man. I'll call you back, because he know how close his dad brought us and how close baseball is. It's like a fraternity. I mean, no matter how long you haven't seen someone or how long someone haven't been around, you always know that you can call that person and say, how you doing? Facebook is one other thing as well where, I go to Facebook and I think I have over 50 old teammates that I grew up playing ball with and professional athlete from one league on to the other to the major leagues. I can pick the phone up and talk to them. And so those are the things that I want to share because it's not just about the sports. It's about life. It's about knowing that you can talk to anybody. And when something happened, like with Coach Lance passing, I mean, that was painful for me to see, for me to hear, I should say. So, again, I'm back on CRS Radio. I'm feeling good about it. I'm talking my head off, but I love talking to people because I want them to know that the guy that they listen, the voice of the guy that listen to right now is very passionate about sports, very passionate about baseball, very passionate about my culture, Caribbean culture. I will always tell people that I may leave the Caribbean, but the Caribbean have never left me and never will leave me because the way I look at it is that's mom, that's dad. That's who raised us and everything. And sometimes I would sit back and I would think about, and I'm introducing myself today because today's the first time that I've been back. So I wanted you guys to know kind of who you are listening to right now. And I look back and a lot of people say to myself, ask me, why are you so passionate about taking sports back to the Caribbean islands or taking what you learned back to the islands? And I would always tell them because I didn't do this on my own. And I say that to say this, that the young men at that time that I grew up playing with, if it wasn't for their greatness or the way they play the game and the love that they had for the game, I would have never been where I got to by being a ball player. They pushed me. They pushed me to that level. They pushed me to the level where I got to say, well, you know what? At least I have an opportunity to become a professional athlete. But now that I got to that point, it's almost like being an MVP. You're MVP, you're on a team. There's no way you could say I did it on my own. There's always people that pushes you and make sure that you're good at what you do. And so that is what I feel about St. Martin, is to say, I say St. Martin because that's where I grew up. And with them, what they did is that they gave me the opportunity to be the best that I can be by pushing me to the limit to being the best. So with their pushing, their drive, and their way of playing the game brought me to the point where I got to that limit. And I God blessed me with talent, and I use that talent to get me to where I'm at right now. But I don't want to give up and say, I got mine, now you get yours. That's not how I look at life. I look at life as if the grandfathers and the fathers of the young kids in the Caribbean island, I want to show them what baseball have done for me because because of their grandfather, their father, their uncle. So I don't want to seem selfish and just, hey, thank you and I'm gone. So this is one of the things that as a radio host, I want to make sure that everybody understand that even on the radio, I want that you guys to feel and hear and observe the passion that I have for my Caribbean islands. I want you to feel the passion that I have for everything that I do. And I think one of the things that make me miss the CRS radio and the sports chat, now it's sports chat and more, is Doc. You know, I mean, she's always been honest and straight up with me and say, hey, you know, we like what you've done. We want you back. What are you going to do? You know, and then I think about a couple months ago, I kind of say, you know, I gotta get back home. You know, to me, it's home. And she was like the prodigal son's father. She just get the fatted cow and you know, like welcome me in. No questions asked. When you're ready, when you want to do it, let's go. Let's make it happen. And so that's one of the welcoming thing. And then Mr. Hapton Brown, Mr. Reed, they call, set it up and say, let's make it happen. And I'm glad that I'm back. I have a lot of exciting things that I want to do in this program. Like I said, I'm going to have Ms. Rhoda Arundel. She's going to come in. And I'm hoping she can log in because she's actually not in D.C. right now. She's in St. Martin. So hopefully the connection, we can get the connection in the next couple of minutes so we can pick her brain a little bit, talk a little bit about what get her to the point where she's at, why she's doing what she's doing, because she's also an activist on the independence of St. Martin and on the independence of all Caribbean islands, wanting to make sure that colonialism is not one of the things that no one in the island are happy with. Everybody wants to be independent, and there's a lot of independent island, and I think her goal is to make them all independent, and she is one of those very active. She has a radio show. She's part of a radio show in St. Martin called One St. Martin. And One St. Martin is a independent radio station that actually talk about independence. We're going to have some people on this show, not just sports. We're going to have people on this show that maybe we don't share the same views, but I think that is one of the things that make us grow is understanding each other and making sure we listen to each other. And, you know, I may not believe what you say, but we can understand. We could kind of what you call agree to disagree. And it's an open dialogue. That's why I said sit down and talk is a phrase that typically means to have conversation or discussion. You know what I'm saying? So we're just going to sit down, discuss, agree to disagree, make things happen, and not fight with each other, but understand each other. Because sometimes, you know, you may have an issue where you don't feel like, you know, no matter what you say to this person, they're going to change your mind, or vice versa. That doesn't mean you can't listen to them. Because sometimes people's point of view make you grow as an individual, you know. So that is what we want to do on the talk show. Again, I'm still extending my invitation to Mr. Dixon. I want him to come in and say hi to CRS Radio. And you know, every now and then I may, you know, it would be nice to have him come on and say hi. Because how this whole thing start with me and my passion for even being on CRS Radio start with him. He one day called me and said, hey, I want you to come on the show. I want to interview on the show. And after that one interview we had, he was like, hey, dude, you gotta come on the show. You know, we got to make this thing happen. And so I want to extend the same thing to him. Now that I'm the host, I want to extend and say, come on whenever you want to, you know, just let me know. Just come on in and say hi and hi to your people, to Caribbean people, and let us know a little bit about where he's at right now too, with the Jamaica baseball. I think he goes down, I would say probably twice or three times a year. Kind of mad at him though because he haven't taken me with him as yet. You know, not just even the baseball. I didn't get to see the beautiful island of Jamaica one time, and I would love to see more of it. And be part of what they're growing with baseball. I love to teach. I love the game of baseball. And I love to extend whatever avenues that's available to any young athlete that wants to grow in this game. So those are things that this show is opening up. I would say that's something I want to be part of, and I think I'm gonna make a great platform. Today, we're here. We're on for the first time for a long time. But as of next week, Monday And we're going to be on 8 to 9 every Monday night. And when you once we come on, we'll have, you know, a little chit-chat. We'll talk about what's going on today in sports. And then we'll bring on a gentleman, James Young. James Young is going to come on and give us all the scores and highlights of all the basketball, baseball, whatever the sports is going on right now. And once that happens, we'll have 15, 20 minutes, with, again, with Ms. Rhoda Arundel to talk about the topics of the Caribbean, the welfare of the Caribbean islands. So those are things that we're going to be doing. We definitely don't want it to be a dull show. We want it to be and once we start getting in our clients, our listeners start coming on, we would engage with them as well and let them engage in what they're looking for in our, as a show, CRS Radio. We want everything. We want it all. So give us your ear and also let us know how you feel about certain things, and we'll go from there. Again, I just text Dixon. I just text Dixon, tell him, oh man, come on on. It's my first night on. Just come on, say hi. I say, I'm sure Doc's listening. Doc, if you're listening, I would like for you to at least come on and say a little something. You know, you don't have to say much. I'm not going to hold you too long. Because you are busy. You always eat good night, good morning, good afternoon. I don't know where you are sometimes in the world, but I know you're somewhere. But if you can, just come on. We'll talk just for a little bit, trying to get, settled in. I'll go back to me a little bit with all about me and we get settled in. And just for a lot of young kids, to let them know that my journey was a blessed journey in the sports of baseball. And I tell my players as an organization that I never even got drafted as playing the game of baseball. I got drafted by practicing. And I was one of those kids that even in practice, I'm giving you 200% every time. There was no let. And there was a tourist came to visit the island. And when he was come to visit the island, he he was driving by the baseball field in cul-de-sac St. Martin. And he looked to his left and he saw kids playing baseball. He was shocked. He was like, I didn't know that there was baseball on this island. So he turned around and he came back and he sat in the stands. And he said he was supposed to leave St. Martin within the next day or two. And he stayed there for 30 days watching me and watching all of us practice and play. And he stayed there and left. And this is the story that I got after the fact, after I signed with Baltimore. But I had an opportunity to go to Aruba to sign to go and work out with Jesus Chuhalabi, who was a scout for the Baltimore Orioles. And while I was working out for Chu, a gentleman walked into the office with Chu and said, hey, I'm here to sign that kid. And what kid? He said, Rafael Skeet. And he was like, how do you know him? He said, well, we know of him because of this ex-Major League Baseball player named Rico Carty came to visit the island and saw this kid and thought that this kid should be on somebody's Major League team. And when they call me in and have a conversation with me, of course, as a young teenager, I was afraid. I was afraid what I didn't know. I didn't know what's going to happen, where I was going to be, and I didn't know how things was going to work. So I came in, and my heart is racing, and they push a yellow contract, and it's a yellow contract folded in like four different ways, and all contract is universal. And he said, hey, I'm here to sign you. And he told me what's going on. And he said, Mr. Carty, Rico Carty said to come and sign you. My name is, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he was sent to Aruba by Epi Guerrero, who was the farm director for the Toronto Blue Jays. And when I saw the contract, of course, I'm scared. As a teenager, so scared. And I look at Chuhalabi, who the one who invited me to Aruba, and I said, can I talk to you for a second? And he was sure. He asked the guy to excuse us. We went in another office, and I told him, I said, listen, man, I don't know this guy. You know, I don't know who he is. I said, I know you. And I said, can I call my mother? And she said, sure. So, you know, he gave me the phone. I called my mother, bless her soul. And my mother, I told my mother, I said, hey, this is what's going on. You know, I explained her. And she was like, listen, son. And, you know, Caribbean mothers have a way of saying things that I don't know if other mothers outside of Caribbean would understand, but the young kids always understand. And she said, Raul, do whatever you want to do. She said, in your hand. She go, because she said, whether you fall or you do good or you do bad, mama still have your back. She said, because I am not going to give you a decision. This is her word exactly. And then when you hit 25, you're going to say, mama, if you had let me do this, and mama, if you say no, you're going to blame mama. She called, don't blame mama. You make a decision on your own, but mama is there for you. And I sat for about 5 minutes in the office by myself, and I think I made the right decision. I called Mr. True Halaby in the office, and I said, listen, I said, I'm going to sign with you. He was like, but I'm not ready to sign yet. He said, I got 9 other guys out there. That's why I brought you and, you know, these kids try out to see which one I'm going to sign. Well, if I don't sign with you, I'm not gonna go. And he said, okay, hold on a second. He walked outside, told the gentleman, listen, man, he's not gonna sign with you. He said, I'm gonna sign him right now. And the gentleman gave him the contract, because the contract, I said, is a universal contract. It's a contract that everybody can use. So he gave him the contract. The guy shook my hand, told me good luck. He told me that he don't know me, but he wished. He heard a lot of good stuff about me and hoped that I could, you know, I could make it to where I wanted to go. And I stayed in the office and signed a contract. That's when it started. You know, it started that way because the reason I chose not to sign with the Blue Jays, not because I didn't like the Blue Jays. In my mind, I was already in the training with the Orioles for the next, I would say I was doing it for like 2 weeks before this gentleman came in the office. And I felt as if the Orioles knew more about me than the Blue Jays did. And that's my young mind working, okay? And so I didn't want to be that kid when I go to the Toronto Blue Jays. I wanted to be Raphael Skeet when I go to the Baltimore Orioles. And that's why I made that decision. I made the decision based on me being known to the organization. And it could have been wrong, but that's the decision I made when I did it. That's why I made that decision. And it was great. It was great. And everything happened within 2.5 years. I was a major league roster. So there's one of the things that, you know, I'm glad I made that decision. I'm glad things work out. So we go from there. I got a 202 online. I'm not sure who it is, but I'm going to bring him in. So to join me, and so we can go from there. Listener, this is Raphael Skeet. Welcome to CRS Radio, man. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, good afternoon. Good evening, Raphael. This is Rhoda here. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm looking at this 202. I'm not used to a 202 from you, so I'm not sure what's
right.
Going on, you know?
Washington, D.C. I have to use the back
door. Well, what it is, I'm here and talking, you know, trying to introduce myself and trying to let people know a little bit about me, and I'm letting them know that you will be coming on the show and a little bit about who you are, and you know, I can't give you too much justice in me trying to explain who you are. Only you can do it better yourself. So explain who Rhoda Arundel is and why Rhoda Arundel is here talking to me today.
Well, first of all, let me congratulate you on your re-debut. I don't know what it feels like for you, but I can say it sounds like you're off to a good start. So I want to congratulate you and thank you for always promoting St. Martin, promoting the Caribbean, and as you do that, taking us along for the journey. So first of all, kudos to you for doing this. Who is Rhoda Arundel? I heard you mention that I'm involved in activism work in St. Martin. I'm a St. Martiner like you, born in another island, in Curacao, actually. and came to St. Martin at the age of 3 with my parents, my mother from St. Vincent and my dad from St. Martin. So I always tell people that I'm a Pan-Caribbeanist. I'm also a Pan-Africanist, if you want to say that. How do I describe myself? Currently, I am the Vice President of the Caribbean Studies Association, assuming the presidency as of June this year. And basically what it is it's an organization of Caribbean scholars and academics throughout the world, but their link is to the Caribbean, and they participate every year in an annual Caribbean conference. And this year, the conference is going to be held in beautiful St. Lucia from June 3rd to the 7th. So that's my first hat. I'm currently a professor at Howard University, where I teach Introduction to Caribbean Lit and Women in Literature. But my favorite hat that I wear, and that's the one that you mentioned, I'm the president of the One St. Martin, a One SXM association, where, and I also work with various organizations in St. Martin, like House of Nehesi Publishers, where I do editing work, and I work with my co-host Fabian Baridjo on a program called Culture Time in St. Martin. And what we do, and I think you mentioned it, you know, like we call ourselves anti-colonialists or pro-independistas or whatever, and we feel that the work that we do must, in whatever step of the work that we choose to do, lead us to full liberation as a people, right? As an African people transplanted in this space called the Caribbean, but colonized by European forces. And so we think it is our duty to work for the full liberation of Caribbean people and for the Caribbean region. So that's the work I do. You mentioned, you know, some of the things that I hope to bring to the discussion on the program is an update on the state of affairs in the Caribbean, on the Caribbean, from the Caribbean, and sharing it with other Caribbean people. So I don't know if anyone is aware of some of the things that we are currently concerned with, but things like what's happening in Haiti, or Haiti, if you're American, you say Haiti. In Caribbean, we say Haiti. You know, what are some of those concerns? We know that today, CARICOM heads of governments and others are meeting in Jamaica, and they are trying to come to a practical solution, you know, guided by the Haitian people as to how to solve the situation in Haiti. We're also involved in the reparations movement, and so as part of the CARICOM reparations program or committee, we try to, you know, we do a lot of research and bring to the table discussions on how to move forward with the issue of reparatory justice for the Caribbean and all of the others that have been enslaved by European forces. And yeah, basically that's pretty much the update. You might have heard that at the end of this month, the freedom of movement regime should be in full force for CARICOM countries in the Caribbean, which means that there will be more flexibility to move and reside in the different CARICOM spaces. Unfortunately, St. Martin is not a full member of CARICOM, so we do not participate in that regime because we're still colonized, both the French and the Dutch. But it's a work in progress. So we participate, we engage, we work along with our brothers and sisters in the region. And yeah, as I said, we're moving for a full and free Caribbean, right? That's our work. And so again, kudos to you. Thank you for having us as part of this journey. And we hope to bring our contribution to the discussion.
And I got a question to ask you too is, I know you have one book out and you have another one that you're working on releasing. But before we talk about the one that you're going to release, tell me why brought you to write the first book that you write, that you wrote, and why.
Oh, that's a beautiful question. Yeah, so my first book is called Language, Culture, and Identity in St. Martin. And so I'm a linguist by training. I have a bachelor's and a doctorate degree in linguistics. And the reason why I chose this field is partly because of my own experience of living in a colonized space where you're colonized by France and the Netherlands. So your education and living in this island called St. Martin is imparted to you in my case, the Dutch language, or in other cases on the island, it's in the French language. And it was clear to me very early on that there's a disparity somewhere in there between the children who are able to make it through this foreign language to be able to be successful academically and those who struggle because of language. And because of language, we're not able to reach certain level. Now, you know how it is, how the education system is so divided, and it looks like, you know, it gives the impression that a lot of these children are not smart or, you know, are articulate because they can't speak this foreign language, right? And so it became part of my mission as to what is the problem here. And so I did my undergraduate in linguistics, came back and did my master's in education administration, and I wrote about a language policy for the island as part of my master's thesis. And in those discussions and coming back, we realized that the St. Martin population, like most of the Caribbean, I must say, we have some misgivings, you know, when we are told to introduce something new for our own good. We don't like change, and we're so stuck on this colonial programming that we resisted. And so I felt that I needed to do more research and to bring that back to the conversation, and hence the discussion of language, culture, and identity, and how this foreign language, you know, that you are given your education in, how it impacts your identity as a person, as a person of African descent, or in this case, yeah, in St. Martin, you also have European and Asian descent, but how it impacts that and how you see yourself versus how the world sees you. So that was the reason for the first book. And, the other one now is on an education model, because it's one thing to talk about what the language does and how it impedes your academic progress. The question is, what are you going to do about it? And so the second book.
I think you and I discussed this a lot of time behind the scenes of the connection between education and sports. And I think you and I go with you a lot about, I think it should be separated in a sense than being together. But you think that the togetherness is one of the greater way to actually grow the youth. And tell me about that. Tell me about that.
Okay. It's my position that if you're going to program anybody in anything, you do it through institutions, right? Oftentimes you do it through the church or through the schools or through whatever, but you need your institutions to, you know, when we speak of systemic anything, we know it's because of institutional programming. And it is my belief that there are two ways to look at it. Like I often mention the Cuban example. You can build the education system around sports if you're through education, right, using that as a tool. Or you could do it the other way around, which is a lot of other islands do it. They build the sports, you know, around the education system. The different models that you can use, but they're, in my view, if you're going to program children, you'd want to do that as early as possible. You want to do that as systemically as possible, as often as possible. But you also want to make sure that there's buy-in, you know, from government, from community. And what better way to do it than through school, through education. And so when it becomes part of the education system, it becomes a natural habit. Now, it doesn't mean that every child will go out and become a professional athlete. Just like not all of us who had music as a subject became professional musicians, right? But it does light a spark, and it also gives the child an opportunity to experiment very early on where can I find my gift and my talent. The other reason why I say that is because you know how it is in St. Martin. If your parents can afford it, you may have access to a plethora of options, and if your parents can't, you don't. Education, especially public education, allows for, you know, leveling the playing field. You know, those who have and those who do not have get the same opportunity to be seen, to get access, And that's why I think that that's the best place to start. And the child doesn't have to become a professional athlete, but at least need to be have to be able to have access. You know, that's where the spark is lit.
I do understand that because I look back at my growing up in St. Martin, and I can specifically go to my friend, my childhood friend. And there are so many people on all the islands, I think it's just like my friend, okay? And him and I started mm-hmm. playing baseball at a very early age. And as we get older, the talent start separating. And mm-hmm. My friend, I call him as Mervin. And Mervin, as the talent starts separating, and I start going to a higher level, and his level is going and moving slower. And I know we're educational, a lot is concerned, but this young man never had a jealous bone in his body. He supported everything I did. And so, mm-hmm. and so when I say that, to say even with the education part, it would teach others, because I always believe I have a good friend in baseball by the name of Nate Oliver, and he says something mm-hmm. that makes so much sense. You said about education. He said something that makes sense, that even if you're trying hard to play a sport, any sport, and you didn't make it to the level you wanted to play, you still never stop that. You could actually be something in that sport, because there's a lot of people right. who are general managers or who become owners or who become managers of different organizations and became more important than the players themselves.
Right.
That's part of
right.
education. I understand that part.
Right, right, right. And you're absolutely right. And it's, you know, because it's a network, right? It's a whole support system, a whole ecosystem of different moving parts that make the thing work. And so, like, you know, I tried a little bit of softball in my high school days. I didn't care for it, right? But at least it introduced me to the rules, right? What are some of the rules? As I've become an adult, I don't particularly care to play it. I always understand all the rules, but I can appreciate it because I was introduced to it, right, at an earlier age. No, it doesn't mean like American football that I can't learn later in life to appreciate it, because I like American football just as much, I guess, as softball. But that early exposure allowed me, first of all, to build a network of friends that I, you know, some of them still actively engaged in softball. But it also allowed me, like your friend Mervin, to support my friends who play softball. You see what I'm saying? Like, I go mm-hmm. because they are playing, right? Or they will announce that, you know, something is happening related to their game, and I may want to go see it because of them. And I don't need to be an active participant, but I can support. And that's what it also does. But the other thing that you mentioned, I think, for you as a coach, the discipline that it teaches, right? Having this introduction to sports, you know, team building, et cetera, but also the discipline, you know, the hard work, the acumen that you have to put in to make it materialize. And those are skills you take with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people don't understand any sport at all, anything you do in life, period. Especially
mm-hmm.
sports, the hard work you have to put towards that. That sport that you chose, it's not, you don't wake up in the morning and say, I can do this and I can do that. It's the hard, and it always, I tell my kids when I train them, I said, as hard as you guys work, if you guys ever seen that, some of these sports commercial, this guy would get up early in the morning, he'd brush his teeth, and he's jog out to the field like wee hours in the morning. And when he get there, there's like 100 people there waiting for him. You know, so you're not
right,
the only one.
Right.
You're not the only one putting in the work. The work is being done.
Mm-hmm.
Is, and again, another thing that you always understand, people say, oh, I practice every day. I practice a lot. Practicing really doesn't make you a better player. It's the way you practice that make you better. You know, are you practicing
right.
the right way? Are you doing the right things? Is everything falling in place? The fundamental part of it, right? So if you grow to make the fundamentals right, then the practice means something. But there's a lot of people practice and they practice wrong, you know. And so So if you can't, and I think it's about humility. I think as an athlete, if you actually slow down and understand that you could, like in baseball is the only sport that you can, it's all, they call it a sports of mistakes. You could make more mistakes in baseball and be a Hall of Famer. You could hit three out of 10 and you could still make the Hall of Fame. It is the only sport that you can be negative and still be positive, you know, because if body says, well, you hit 300, you know what 300 is? 300 is 30 out of 100 or 3 out of 10, but he's still a superstar because right. He's 300 average. So that's the difference between some sports and some and baseball is baseball is a sport of negative, you know. So when you look at anybody's average in baseball and they hit 300 or 301, 302, they think they're the greatest, but it's still 3 out of 10. You know, you do that in any sport, 30%. In baseball, you're 300. So that's an extra zero right. that they put on to make it possible to give you that positive.
And to your point of practicing correctly, this is why the work that you do becomes so important, because you want the right coaches, right? The ones who know the correct way. Like I play volleyball and I started following, like, you know how we do it in St. Martin. You jump on the court and you follow along with whatever the others were doing. But it wasn't until in my 20s, after I'd returned from college now and I'm being trained to play with the national team by a coach with better understanding of the game and the fundamentals of the game, that I could see where my mistakes were. And now I had to work hard to correct bad habits, right? Because I'd been practicing, like you said, like everybody else, but I wasn't. The fact that I was doing it so often and doing it wrong didn't help me to improve. Until I found a coach who knew what he was doing.
And it makes it so much harder to get back from that. Even with myself, when we played baseball in the Kirvin Island in St. Martin, it's Johnny teach me and I teach that guy and the other guy teach the other guy. Right. We had no professional training. It's when I got up here to play professional ball with Baltimore Orioles is when I really start learning the game. But because I was so intrigued with baseball, I was in love with it. I was almost married to it. Well, put it this way, I was married to baseball. You understand? So no matter what you give me, I was one of those athletes that could to make the changes when on a whim. You know, God bless me with that. But the training that I'm giving the kids today is the training that I learned as an adult playing professional. I have the opportunity to give these kids at 11 and 12 and 13 what I picked up as an 18, 19, 20-year-old. These are the things that's why I'm so passionate teaching it, because in my mind I'm like, boy, if I knew this when I was 11. Boy, if I knew this when I was 12. So much fun teaching these kids the way of doing it, you know, the co-host that I had with the CRS radio years ago, Andrew Dixon, I never knew Andrew Dixon until I met him as a teammate, you know, and we've been friends for over 4 years. So sports is also a way it's a community, put it that way. It's a community.
And shall I add to that another important aspect that you just mentioned there? It's also because we're in education, right? Both of us in different areas of education. It's also a lifelong learning process, because like you, when I'm teaching volleyball, I now have to do my research, right? Because, you know, there's no coach to coach me. But you also have to keep being up to date with the research and what's happening in the field. And then there may be other techniques to teach the same skill that now, or maybe other, in your case, other tools, right, that you can use to get the same results. So you have to be familiar with what's happening. And as a coach, you also want to be open to always learning, right, so that you can improve what you're passing on to the kids.
That is true. I mean, you're right. I mean, you see, the thing is that I always say sports is life, life is sports. I think it intermingles. You learn certain things the do's and the don'ts in sports, the same way you learn the do's and the don'ts in life, because nothing comes easy. Nothing comes easy. And I think sometimes sports is the catalyst to a lot of communication to communities, you know. So it's one of those things where I think that if we kind of take ourselves, our personal feelings a lot of time out of what we feel and work towards what the common cause is. Because I always, one of the coaches tell me, he said, Rafael, you may not like that guy or that guy or that guy, but when you catch the ball and you really want, and you love the game and you want to make it out, you have to throw to that guy you say you don't like.
Right.
Make the out. But when you see him in the mall, you don't want to talk to him. You don't have to talk to him. But when you get on the baseball field, you are a teammate. You are a part of that community. So the little me getting the ball is small. Me throwing the ball to him is the bigger thing. We together work on something. We created something.
Mm-hmm.
We got it out. And so that's what sports to me is almost like life. You know, everybody is saying, oh, I don't like this. You don't have to like what I say, but if you listen to what I'm saying and I listen to what you're saying, I don't have to agree with you, but we can agree to disagree and move on, you know, amicably, just move on. So I hear your point.
Yeah, absolutely. Total agreement.
So, you know, but I'm glad you came on. I was here sitting, I'm saying, you know, I was letting them know what our program is going to be like in the future. We're going to have sports. We're going to have a little of everything. I have you on with me for like 15, 20 minutes of the week, every week, and we go from there and talk. I'm going to hit you with some tough questions, and you're going to give me some tough answers. And like I said, we just got to and help people understand and let people understand that everybody have their passion. You know, again, my passion is sports. My passion is Caribbean sports, and your passion is Caribbean in independence. So we're still in the same
boat. And right now on our minds is the situation in Haiti, right? That's like the biggest thing on the back of all our minds right now, that we can find a solution for our brothers and sisters in Haiti. We're one family. We're all working on it. Different people see it differently, but at the end of the day, it has to be led by Haitians. That's our position here in St. Martin and in other places, you know, in the Caribbean. And we're praying, you know, for our brothers and sisters in Haiti, you know, that we get a solution for the Haitian people.
And our prayers go out for them. And one of the things we have to understand is that we all have one journey where we have different paths. So, you know, we go through that and finish that journey, you know, we'll be okay. We'll definitely be okay. But I'm glad you came on. I thank you so much.
Awesome.
And we're definitely going to have conversations, a lot of good time like we did tonight. Thank you for coming on the CRS radio show.
Thanks for the
show,
opportunity.
For sports chat and more. It's fun. I enjoy it. We're going to turn the world on this one. So I appreciate you coming on and, Again, thank you. And we didn't talk about the other book that you wrote, but we're going to pick that up next week. And we're going to
came a little plug here that I'm hoping to launch it at the Caribbean Studies Association at 50 in St. Lucia and in St. Martin at the St. Martin Annual Book Fair. This will be June 7th and 8th. That's my plan. I'm still, you know, it's not yet out. But that's the plan, to have it launched in St. Lucia and in St. Martin during the summer. So thank you again for this opportunity.
FYI, you didn't get away. We still got to talk about what's in the book.
Okay.
So
about the book.
We can take that up and talk about what's in it. So, thank you so much. I definitely appreciate you coming on. I love the conversation. And I'm looking forward for more conversation after this. Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
All righty. No, you're welcome. All righty. Good success. Thanks.
Thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we just had a conversation with Ms. Rhoda Arendelle. We're going to have a conversation a little bit more about her new book that's coming out. She's very into education. Her and I had a conversation sometimes, and I would always tell her, I think that the sports department and the education department should be separated. And she was like, nope, that's not how it should be. So maybe one day she'll convince me, and I'm not convinced yet, but maybe one day she'll convince me. We just want to make sure that we have a good show for you guys and making sure everything is on the up and up. We're going to make sure we show passion in every episode that we come forward with. You would find out that we're doing it. And again, our prayers goes out to Haiti. She mentioned Haiti to us tonight. Our prayers go out to them. And we're going to make sure that we stay strong with our Caribbean culture, man, because you could take us out of the Caribbean, but you can't take Caribbean out of us, you know. So we got to make sure we blend and make sure we support every angle and every movement that we have in St. Martin. And again, sports is my is me, but I also know that there's a lot of things beyond sports. And I was mentioning my friend Mervin Thomas has been my friend since we were yay high, you know, and that young man has not one jealous bone in his body. That's truly a friend, you know. And I can tell anybody this, that this man has always been there for me, even though we're up in the young 20 age of 20. No, I'm just kidding. But we're young at heart. And we still best friend. We talk every now and then. But you know, I just want to let people know that, you know, it don't stop at the edge of the water, man. You got to go out. You got to make things happen, move forward, and don't just be shallow about anything that you think about in your life. Again, like I was saying, that Nate Oliver always say that no matter what you do in life, if you haven't got to the top, stop, you know, keep working around edges, because if you keep working around the edges, you never know what can happen. Never stop working hard. Never stop doing what you do. And I feel the same. And every time I talk about something, I don't just open my mouth and talk. I also talk. I also listen to my voice. And I sometimes listen and sometimes say things that I would say to myself, that makes sense. So again, Doc, I want to thank you so much. You and Mr. Reed. And Hafton, thank you guys, man, to welcome me back in the ranch, you know, to make things happen. I think I got a text from Mr. Reed. He was like, "Man, I didn't know you were on." But yeah, I'm on. I'm here, man. Hey, if I'm not on, I know Doc will come find me somewhere. She find me and she let me have it. So I'm here. I'm happy to be back. I know. I hope you guys can hear the enthusiasm and the passion that I have. Glad to be back on and with the CRS Radio and doing sports chat, and we're gonna make you guys proud and make you guys glad that we came back. So I want to let everybody know, thanks again. Thank Dixon. Andrew Dixon, he didn't had a chance to come on it. I was hoping he did, but he's the one that opened me up to CRS Radio. That's my guy. I'm known him for a long time. And if you're listening, Dixon, man, it's still your home. Anytime you want to call, say something, chit-chat, come home, you know. So we'll make it happen. Again, thanks again for you guys for being part of today. I'm seeing a lot of people listening. Again, I'm new back in town, and I'm glad to be here. And I want to say good night and hope to see you guys next Monday at 8 o'clock Eastern time. We're going to do it again, and I think it's going to be a little better than today, and I love today's show. I think next week is going to be even a lot better than it was today. I'm looking forward to it. Again, thanks to listening to Sports Chat and more at the CR Radio Show. And I will say again, I bid everyone good night, and thanks for coming back with me. And we'll see you next week.